All right. So there's a movie out. If you are looking for something to view this weekend, or looking, you want to go to the theater, or you want to go see a great film. There's a new film out from the studio that brought you The Sound of Freedom and The Chosen. And these are films that were really, really well done. One of my biggest criticisms of so many films that kind of originate on the right or in the faith-based community is that it seems like production value was always secondary. The Angel Studios really, really focuses on just top-notch production, and they really do great films. I mean, they just look, you know, really beautiful, and they're really well done. And their next one, After Death, which is in theaters now, and you can purchase your tickets online at angel.com/Dana. It explores the mystery of what happens, you know, what could happen after we die. And it looks at the perspective, looks at it from the perspective of individuals who have gone through this, who had a situation where they, you know, they were flatlined, their heart stopped beating, and they went, you know, to the realm beyond. And it talks about their experiences, first person accounts, but they also incorporate, unlike anybody else, very careful research. So it's the perfect marriage of scientific knowledge and philosophy and faith to paint a fascinating picture of what life could be like in the next realm. To find a theater near you and to purchase tickets online, you can go to angel.com/Dana, and you can also pay it forward. You know, you can purchase a ticket from someone else. So if you're someone that would love to go see it, but you know, times are tough and you can't really swing tickets, you can actually go, and generous fans have paid it forward for you, and you can get a free ticket at angel.com/Dana. So leave your preconceptions at the door. Prepare for a never before seen glimpse into what the next life could entail. And After Death in theaters now. Get your tickets today. Pay it forward. Angel.com/Dana. That's angel.com/Dana. After Death, the end is only the beginning. PG-13.
I think we've talked about this before, Colleen. I mean, we're really not just talking about like one pause. What we're trying to do is explore the idea of as many pauses that might be necessary to continue to get aid out and to continue to work to get people out safely, including hostages.
So why, my question with this is, why is it always imperative on the United States or Israel to make every compromise, to do everything, always? Because no one is saying, and I feel like this should go without saying, that if there was to be any kind of ceasefire, maybe, just maybe, it should be Hamas that ceasefires. Just a thought. Because, you know, you've heard the saying before that if it was Israel that actually ceasefired, put down their guns, then, I mean, you would have another Holocaust. And that's true. Because the issue isn't, the belligerent here isn't Israel. And I'm so tired of having everything couched in that perspective, because it completely excuses and refuses to acknowledge everything that led us up to this point in time right now. And I'm honestly, I just don't know how people can go through life with that, thinking that that's the way it goes, because it's not. Welcome to the show. First off, I got a lot here I want to unpack. So again, good to be with you. It's Friday, thank heavens. We made it to Friday. Let's see if we make it through the weekend. Good grief. But the latest with this, we have the administration, which you kind of knew this was going to happen because of the posturing that Biden had been taking through the week. And remember how they started. Now, remember, how did they start with this whole business of ceasefire? They had originally started with, oh, no, we're not going to have, you know, Biden didn't even, he kind of, remember how he was asked the question about a ceasefire, and he just sort of didn't really know exactly how to handle it. And then, but it sounded like that was not something that he wanted. And then now we are in this position where it seems like this is the other people that are advising him in all of this, that are pushing him towards demanding that Israel put, you know, ceasefire, let humanitarian aid go through. I mean, to have a pause, I was reading this piece because Anthony Blinken went out and he was saying that Israel has to do more to protect Palestinian civilians. And Netanyahu, there's some daylight here. There's daylight between Netanyahu and the Biden administration, and it doesn't look as though I just don't think that it looks good, honestly, for this administration at all to have the position that it does. Netanyahu rebuked the United States and said, no, we're not going to do a pause. We're not doing this. And that's such stupid language, too, because they act like, you know, the administration, I don't know if they think that that's like a little coup that they have because they're not, they didn't say the word ceasefire, but we all know what it means. We all know that this, you know, that's exactly what this is. It's a ceasefire. This isn't just a pause. They're trying to play word games here. It's a ceasefire. And he says that, you know, you have to protect the citizens in Gaza, and that failure to do so, he says that this is, you have to protect the citizens in Gaza, and failure to do so, it just, it's playing into Hamas's hands. Well, all of this, what he's doing is playing into Hamas's hands. I mean, that's exactly what this is doing. He says that the pauses, he goes, we got to get the hostages out, etc. They're holding the hostages in the tunnels. Biden spoke yesterday, or Blinken spoke in Tel Aviv. He met with Netanyahu, and now you see daylight between the allies here. He says that Hamas can't, you know, we have to be able to get the hostages out. It's not Israel that's preventing the hostages from leaving. It's Hamas that's preventing the hostages from leaving. Israel doesn't have anything to do with this. And to have the United States take this position is asinine. I mean, this is the dumbest damn thing I've ever seen. This is so stupid. Like, now you have the Hezbollah leader threatening the United States. Americans have to quickly stop this war. Americans don't have to do jack squat. Americans didn't do anything. Americans don't have to stop anything. Hezbollah and Hamas need to stop. I feel like we're parents on a playground, and we're telling kids to stop bullying, because that's Hezbollah and Hamas right now. I feel like we're telling kids to stop bullying. I mean, you have two belligerents. You have an entity, two Iranian backed entities that have been carrying this out, and yet they're telling the people who are defending themselves to stop and to cease fire. We absolutely have no obligation to cease fire, or call for one. Israel has no obligation to enact a ceasefire, not at all. And nor should they. I don't think they should. I don't think there should be any kind of ceasefire, and I don't think there should be any kind of aid or anything else flowing through, because this is the reality of war. And this is what Hamas chose. And all of these people that have been so silent and have been so forgiving and have been so accommodating of Hamas's terrorism over the years, they are all culpable in this. They have all created this because you allowed Hamas to operate without any kind of penalty. You allowed Hamas to operate and do all of this stuff for all of these years, whether it's violating ceasefires or stealing aid or killing people. Have you seen the video, by the way, that's making the rounds of people in Gaza who were shot and killed laying on the road? There were no strikes in this region. There were no strikes in that region. So do you know what it was? It was Hamas sniping and killing its own people. If you want to have a discussion about a ceasefire, then maybe let's talk about that ceasefire. Maybe Hamas can stop killing their own people long enough. Yeah, that video is making, it's really gory. I don't want to show it. None of it censored. But it is, it's bad. But that's what Hamas does. Hamas kills their own people. Hamas kills more people in Gaza and West Bank than Israel has ever. And Israel doesn't target. Here's the other thing. Israel's not targeting civilians. They're not targeting civilians. Hamas does. If civilians are killed as a result of a rocket strike, it is an inadvertent, unintended casualty. It is not something that has been planned, and it's not something in which they target citizens to push terror. And the difference is that Hamas absolutely does this as a psyop. They target all these people as a psyop. So, this is the latest. Our country is slowly trying to back away and leave Israel there. Because if it seems like Israel doesn't have allies in the region, then you're going to have other nations that are probably going to go weak in the knees. And guess what? You're going to have more dead Gazans. You know how you get more dead Gazans? Not holding Hamas accountable. That's how you get more dead Gazans. You know how you get more dead babies? Not holding Hamas accountable. That's how you get more dead babies. I was looking at the website. If you sign up, if you are a subscriber over at Chapter and Verse, my newsletter, which you should be, because things regularly go out there and they're very important. I had to put a big giant warning on one of the links I included yesterday, and it's a horrible website that Israel was forced to create because you have all these people that are deniers out there that didn't think they actually don't think that hardly anybody was killed on October 7th. So they put a website together that includes all of the footage of the October 7th attack, and a lot of it terrifyingly comes from the terrorist's own body cameras. And they had to do it because Hamas's propaganda and their allies in Western media were claiming that it didn't happen like this, and it absolutely happened like this. I mean, the images are and the video are heart-shattering. You can't unsee it, and I would advise you, I mean, if you know what happened, and if you know what happened and you believe reality, you don't need to go and see, because you can't unsee it. I mean, there are videos of people being murdered point blank. There are bodies of women that are partially burned, their hands bound. There are bodies of babies who were shot in their cribs, babies who had arms or hands. I'm not kidding you. This is the stuff that's on this website. They found, in fact, and they did, I don't know if it was a French journalist. They had one journalist there that went in, and they found in one kibbutz that they went into, they killed the parents, and then they took their months-old baby, and they put the baby in the oven, and they turned the oven on. And I'm telling you this because I'm just going to be very frank about it, because people need to know about it. And the heat, as the baby was cooking, you know, the baby swelled, and the heating element actually fused to the body of the child. And this is what Hamas did. There is no moral equivalency between Hamas doing this and Israel carrying out a strike and trying to get rid of Hamas, and Hamas surrounding itself with civilians that it refuses to leave. Civilians that voted for it, by the way. And just until the last couple of years, I mean, who knows what the surveys say now, loved Hamas, surround themselves with civilians so that they can claim to be victims if they are struck. They challenge people to try to take them out so they can call them murderers, even though they're greater murderers than anyone that would ever defend themselves against Israel. There's no moral equivalency between what Hamas does and did and Israel defending its country by not targeting civilians, warning civilians a week in advance, like giving up their own positions and advantage by warning people, please leave the area. We are going to carry out a strike, actually giving Hamas time to leave. And Hamas isn't letting people leave. It's shooting people in the street point blank when they try to leave. There's irrefutable evidence that these Hamas fluffers out there all refuse to acknowledge. There is no moral equivalency between that. None. There was a pregnant woman who was attacked in one of the kibbutz that was near, I think it was the eastern side of Gaza. Her baby was cut out of her body, and the same thing, put into an oven. Just horrific. Horrific. They were showing some of this footage to members of the press and also members of Israel's government the other day. And there were people who had to leave the room because they were sick, like vomiting sick because of what they were seeing. There is no moral equivalency here. None. Hamas isn't defending itself from anything. Hamas, they're colonizers. They're colonizers. Fatah, they're colonizers. Palestinian Authority, the fake country with the fake people name, colonizers. They're colonizers. This is colonization. Where's the DEI people? Where's CRT people? Where are they at? Our partners over at Headrest Safe. This is a great Christmas gift. It's a great gift for yourself now. Buy one for yourself. And then, you know, somebody else, maybe they get a great Christmas gift for them. Because this provides invisible protection. Headrest Safe is a one-of-a-kind in-vehicle safe. It's award-winning. The Concealed Carry Magazine gave it their editor's choice for innovation of best-in-class vehicle safes. And, you know, I know a lot of, I get it. There's a lot of vehicle safes out there. It attaches, you know, down in to the lower console or this or that. This, though, is absolutely undetectable. There's no way people are going to find what this is. It's the passenger side, so it ensures no safety hazards for drivers. and it's absolutely seamless. They blend it seamlessly to your car's interior. They can match over 80% of cloth and pleather/leather of cars sold right here in the U.S., and it provides safe, secure storage. You know, if you're going to a game, you can't bring your gun in. You need a dependable safe, or you have valuables or medicine, whatever it is. You can get to your items in 2.5 seconds thanks to a magnetic access door and a user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader. Nobody else can. It's also comes equipped with a backup keypad and a hard key. Locks into your seat to prevent unauthorized removal. And like I said, you can choose from all kinds of colors and materials. And it locks very securely in place, replaces your existing headrest with a deployable toggle bolt. I'm telling you, nobody knows. They will not know. Guaranteed peace of mind, backed by 100% money back guarantee. The Headrest Safe caters to anybody seeking secure and accessible in vehicle storage. See it for yourself at theheadrestsafe.com and use code Dana for an exclusive $50 off. That's theheadrestsafe.com, code Dana for $50 off. The Headrest Safe, transforming the way we protect our valuables and vehicles with a 100% money back guarantee.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, Nicolas Cage says that he's sounding the alarm on what he says is inhumane digital editing, this trend where everybody's like de-aged. He says that it's a nightmare to him. He says that the use of digital editing in Hollywood, he spoke out in an interview that was published this week. He said that it's terrifying. He was telling one news outlet that one of the scenes that he filmed as a cameo as Superman in The Flash didn't actually happen. And he said that it was, because it is. I mean, it was like total, you know, CGI, AI, all of that. And he says that it's crazy. He goes, I didn't do that. I wasn't there. That didn't happen. And he says that, he said it was crazy. And he says that the de-aging is terrifying. And his answers on this are hysterical. I love Nick Cage. It is weird, though. Have you seen it? Like, when they de-age actors with... It is wild. It's wild. Harvard says that... I don't believe this, and I hate all these people. Your T-bone is giving you diabetes. You know what? You can shut up, us. Nobody cares. I'm so tired of people who are complaining about red meat. If God did not want us to eat animals, he wouldn't have made them out of meat. Shut up. Sit down. Next. People are suing Steven Tyler. They're saying that he assaulted her when she was a teenager. Whose mom let a teenager go backstage at an Aerosmith concert in the 70s? That's my second question. An arrogant passenger runs onto the tarmac demanding being let on the plane after showing up late, forcing the pilot to kill the engine. I would have gotten off the plane and beaten their A-double snake so bad they would have been unrecognizable to their family. Oh my gosh. Runs out on the tarmac. So this is in Afghanistan, okay? Wait for the next plane. You didn't get there in time. Wait for the next plane. Youth smoking nears zero, but Biden still wants to ban menthols to protect kids. By the way, can I just say, as Gen X, who has helped raise Gen Z, not everyone in Gen Z is like this, but man, you guys, they've turned into little Puritans. We need some hellraisers. I'm not saying go out and smoke cigarettes, but they don't drink. They don't smoke. I mean, it's like they're all, it's like a song, right? It's like that song, don't drink, don't smoke. I mean, I'm not saying to go get bad habits, but touch grass, right? Just go out and touch some grass for a little bit. They're saying that youth smoking's nearing zero, blah, blah, blah. Let's see here. The Hollywood sign turns 100 this year. LA is in no mood to party. Nobody cares, LA. What is tarring, Kane?
What?
Tarring.
Tarring?
Tarring.
Like what, tarring a roof? Are you tarring?
Like what they put in energy drinks. They said that
Taurine?
Yeah. They said the amino acid extended the lives of mice and worms. Great news for mice and worms. Researchers, you know, if you want to live longer as a mouse or a worm, researchers are planning more tests in people. They said it could be a key to longer life. I don't believe that. Stick with us. Black Rifle Coffee. I'm going to actually need more coffee. No, I mean, not need more beans. I'm going to need like another cup of coffee. I don't know what I had this morning, but I think it like put hair on my chest. It was so caffeinated. I think it was one of the hardcore roasts. They have really good blends, really good roasts over at Black Rifle Coffee. It is the coffee that I love, and it's the coffee I have every single day. I got to be careful with my caffeine intake. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a little wired. Mostly it's just naturally. So I got to be careful with how much caffeine I have. Black Rifle Coffee. They have the best coffee out there. They also have ready-to-drink coffees if you're in a rush or if you're on the go. And here's the cool thing about the ready-to-drink coffee. Every purchase you make of it, they're raising $1 million to benefit veterans through the Boot Campaign. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the nation. They have all of these individualized programs that treat the root causes of the invisible wounds of war. Everybody knows somebody who's gone and has fought in combat, served their country, and these guys deal with a lot when they come back. You got post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, chronic pain, self-medication, insomnia. And so the Boot Campaign is designed to show gratitude to our nation's vets and provide this very customized care to treat these. And they're very successful at it. And of course, Black Rifle Coffee is proud to partner with them, veteran-owned coffee company that employs veterans and active duty. And so every can of that ready-to-drink coffee you buy goes to that $1 million donation to the Boot Campaign. You can order online. You can purchase it as part of the coffee club. The coffee club is awesome because you choose your roast frequency of shipment and it's put right on your doorstep. Free shipping. You never run out. Black Rifle Coffee is committed to serving the veteran community. With your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together. Keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of vets and their families. It's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The United States is also working with the Inter-American Development Bank to establish a fund for nature, to seed more investment in nature-based climate solutions like debt for nature swaps and blue and green bonds. I supported a debt for nature swaps dating back to my time in the United States Senate. And this is a ripe area for considerable growth, in my view. Investors are eager to support projects that are with demonstrated potential. And by providing early stage funding, the technical assistance, we will help more promising climate solutions get off the ground than ever before.
The hell's a nature swab? Is that what I heard?
I think swap.
Mr. Swab. I heard swab, like they swabbed the earth. It sounds, I don't know what that sounds like. I'm not, I don't know what I feel about that. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. It's Friday. Steve was making fun of me on break because we were talking about how I wouldn't want to live forever because you just got to deal with this stupid. You'd live forever with all the stupid people that could also live forever too. Who would want that? He said that. But that's like the darkest thing he's ever heard. La, 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 la. Happy Friday. It's Friday. It's like a Monday on a Friday. So we do things a little weirder in that. I don't really just, we just sit down. We just talk about all the things and people we don't like. So pull up a chair, get you coffee, get you a soda, whatever it is that you got. You can listen to the radio show across the country. If you'd like to read with pictures, you can watch the I'm joking. You can watch the simulcast as well. Jana, if you're going to get hate mail, 347 DirecTV, YouTube, where there's always a rowdy riot in the comments every day there, and Facebook as well. So what the hell did he say? That was nature swab, dude. I clearly heard that. Is that like some kind of new environmental thing?
It's like you heard Yanni and I heard Laurel or something. But yeah, he's talking. I don't know what the deal is with him outside of just what, dementia and old age? I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, nature swab. Like, I don't know what that is. Is that like a new green initiative? Swab the earth. He can't move his. He can't. It's like he doesn't have the muscle control to pull his top lip up and enunciate better. It's just all the meat on his face slides down and just falls into his teeth, and he can't talk. There's a soundbite. Golly. Man alive, I'm telling you what. But somebody give him some Hunter's Coke. What?
It is a thing.
What's a thing?
Debt for nature swaps.
What?
Yeah, or debt for climate.
So you're claiming that he's saying swap.
Yeah, swap.
I feel like you're trying to make up something that he said so you can make it stupid and you can destroy him further. Not that he needs help.
That does track with what I normally do, but that is not what I'm doing here.
Okay.
It's not what I'm doing here.
Okay.
It is a real thing. Debt for climate swaps and debt for...
Well, what is the debt for climate swap? What's that, Kane?
I guess it's restructuring debt with the incentives behind the green agenda, right?
So it sounds like a racket.
Yeah, it's like a government racket.
Okay, so my next question is, how do we get in on this?
It's a great question.
Like the whole climate, what is it? What were they? The carbon credits, which are basically indulgences. modern day greenie indulgences. Yeah. Sure, you can go ahead and take that plane ride. Give me $1,000 and I'll plant you a tree. Yeah, I'll plant you a tree.
Debt for carbon swaps. I see what you're
doing. Cannot believe people. Do people actually believe this? I mean, it's one thing if people actually believe it. It's something else entirely if they don't believe it and they just do it to give the optic of going along because, look, we're part of the crowd. We're not causing any problems. We're a part of the Inquisition. Look at us, right? I don't know. There's something to that. I don't know. I guess they really believe it. I don't know. It's just weird. I still don't know if that's what he said, swap, but I'm willing to go with what your expert audio engineering ear heard, Kane.
I appreciate it.
Because all I heard was really mashed potatoes. That's all I heard. It's like when, can I just give you an aside and then I'm going to move on because I got other things to talk about. So, and I love my grandfather and I'm not paying that as a penance to get ready to rip him for something. God help me. I'm not, but he was such a rebel. So he was, you know, World War II vet, naval vet. And, he ended up having to get dentures later in life. Man hated wearing dentures. The only time that he would put them in for a while was if my grandma was around and was aggravating him about it. Because she'd get at him all the time. You know, Howard, you got to put your teeth in. Because she told him that he had to get used to wearing them. And he didn't want to wear them. Right? And his doctor kept telling him, you need to wear them. So he quit seeing his doctor. Because he was like, I don't need those people to tell me what to do. This was the man who hated banks. And kept his money in a Bible that was unlocked. Like one of the big giant family Bibles. Like it comes with a case and everything. I don't even know where it came from. I think the Lord gave it to them when he was a boy. I don't know. And kept it on the coffee table in the middle of the living room. And I'm just like, why would you do that? Because people are going to rob you. And he's like, no heathen's going to open this. It's fascinating. And he's right. Like it never, ever, nobody ever took anything out of there. It was probably supernaturally protected. Anyway, long story short, he just thought what he thought and believed what he believed. And he did not want to wear his teeth. And so when we were little and we would sit at the dinner table, and I was at my grandparents a lot growing up because my mom had to work like 3 and 4 jobs. And when we would sit at the table, my favorite thing ever in the world was watching him eat mashed potatoes because he wouldn't wear his teeth because he said they hurt and he couldn't. And he said that his teeth would just made the food weird. And so and then he would sometimes spit it out at you. And it was hysterical. Like he loved entertaining the grandkids at dinner. And so that was my favorite thing in the world. It was like watching Nat Geo right there at the table. And sometimes she would, you know, yell at Howard, you need to wear your teeth, et cetera, et cetera. And he would talk back to her and sound just like Joe Biden did just then without dentures and a mouthful of mashed potatoes. Nobody knew what he said, but you could kind of get the gist of it. And when I heard Biden sit there and go, I'm like, Grandpa, I don't know, just, you know, brought back me. Except my grandpa was sentient. Biden isn't. We don't know what's happening there. How dare you make fun of baby Hunter Biden's dad, Kane? You're so mean.
Well, I have another one from this morning.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's right. There's more. Can we hear some more mashed potato mouth?
I found it this morning, but it did happen last night.
Same difference.
Yeah, listen to this.
And together, we're working to address historic levels of migration in the hemisphere.
Okay, can I pause it right there? Can I just pause it right there for a minute? Because we are going to talk about the border. What the hell is this? Record levels of migration. These aren't geese. These aren't geese. Why do we allow elected officials? Well, there's the migration that's coming from the southern. They're not geese. They're people, including a Jordanian terrorist, by the way. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt it.
No, that's all right. Here we go.
And together, we're working to address historic levels of migration.
It sounds so lethargic.
A lot of people moving around.
So much energy.
Admire the way you handle it. Particularly,
gosh, so much energy.
The Venezuelan refugees, which you've set an example for the region. And so as we embark on this next century partnership, it's making these.
Who the hell is hitting the table?
That's the crackling fire.
That's the fire?
That's the crackling.
It sounds like someone's hitting a ruler on the table.
There's a fire in the fireplace going. And no.
Is there a metronome to keep him on beat? Is that what it is?
It looks like split oak logs crackling.
Man, I want an actual wood-burning fireplace. Can I just blow a hole in my ceiling and put one in?
I'm not sure that's how it works.
I think I'm going to do that. I'm pretty sure it's how it works if I want to, because this is America.
All right.
I have no idea where I'm going with that. What did he say there? I couldn't hear.
No, I don't know what he said.
No one knows what he said. That was just... What does this voicemail sound like? Beep.
No joke.
That's what it is. How dare you make fun of Baby Hunter's dad? Baby Hunter Biden. This cocaine. Or crack. One more sidebar and I got more things to do. I don't know the difference between coke and crack. Is crack just like the generic brand of coke? I literally don't know. I know this was a big debate during the Whitney and Bobby era. No, I don't know.
I think there's, with crack, it is cocaine, but
it is whack, I'm told.
It's cooked in some way.
The cocaine is not cooked. I do not need an email explainer on this from the audience.
In some way to make crack. And we're not giving those instructions out clearly.
The reason I ask is because I was just thinking, like, Are they different? And wouldn't he go? I mean, it's the Bidens. Wouldn't they want to go for the bougiest drug you could be addicted to? Isn't that cocaine? Isn't that what all the bougie people?
Is it?
I don't know.
Is it now?
The '80s. That's all the '80s movies I watched as a kid. That's all the bougie people. All the John Hughes stuff, right?
Yeah, I think it morphed into like heroin and other like even pharmaceutical type drugs.
I'm just wondering. Anyway, and also because I didn't know whether what to attribute to him as a cokehead or crackhead. So I mentioned the border just a little bit ago. I don't know if you guys heard this pretty unbelievable story. A Jordanian national was arrested in Houston, allegedly planning an attack on the Jewish community. Sohieb Ayubayash, 20, was studying how to build bombs. And like every other dumb terrorist, posted about his support for killing the Jews, federal officials claim. He had very specific and detailed content posted by radical organizations on the internet, and he made lots of statements talking about how he was going to kill Jewish people, going to target the Jewish community. I mean, I'm looking at him. He looks like a ton of fun. I mean, somebody skips leg day. I mean, when your thighs and your butt are completely and your midsection is completely disproportionate to the rest of your legs and your skinny little neck and no shoulders, that just means to me that you maybe need to talk less on the internet and work out in the gym more. But I digress. So they said that he got charged because he's not here legally, or not here. He's not a citizen, so he's here on a non-immigrant visa. He was in unlawful possession, and they apparently finally they were monitoring his activities since August, and they. But you know, it's a good thing that we have that Islamophobia outreach, Kane.
Oh yeah.
You know, maybe that's the goal of the vice president. Is, you know, let's, you know, tell him that he doesn't have to go out and kill the Jews because, you know, it's okay. You don't have to go. Is that what their whole outreach is? Is that how they're approaching this? I'm, you know, curious. He was actually planning to attack the Houston Jewish community. And finally, the FBI moved forward. They went after him on an unlawful possession of firearms charge. So this is where I might shock you. When you have people who are here on with great restrictions, because he was here on a very specific type of allowance. And when you're posting about killing other members of our community and you're talking about how to, I just think, you know what? Let's just go ahead and just thump you right now. I am of the mind that so long as you are not a citizen of the country and you're talking about killing people in the country, you're just volunteering to get thumped. Can I just point out, as Juan is preparing to show, and I'm only doing this, he's preparing to show this Jordanian terrorist picture in the simulcast. I've never seen anybody with no shoulders before like this. He looks like a child's drawing. Have you ever seen anything like that? He's fat. He's not fit. He's fat. I mean, he's a chunk. He's muffined out, all that. Man has no shoulders. None. They slope right into his elbows. Again, it's like he's like the human version of Elon Musk's electric truck. Like child's drawing come to life. That's what he looks like. So he's here on a non-immigrant visa. He couldn't legally obtain firearms, yet he had them. And he was just talking about going, and he was being inspired by Al-Qaeda, and he was talking warmly of Hamas, and he wanted to go and kill Jewish members of the community in Houston. So now he's behind bars on an unlawful possession of a firearm by someone with a non-immigrant visa. He spoke of publicly of committing martyrdom, etc. I mean, he had very detailed plans. I mean, obviously, I would assume that they're working on charges with that. But you realize that there are certain forms of unprotected speech when you're talking about killing people on the internet that are not protected forms of speech and are legally actionable. So I'm just curious as to why, especially with some of the stuff that's public about what he did post, why there were no charges on that. I mean, you can be a free speech purist, but when you're talking about where you're going to go and how you're going to murder people and that you're absolutely going to do it and it's pretty immediate. Just saying. So, I don't know, live in peace or live in pieces. I think he should be sent back to his home country in bags. Multiple. The R-50, if you haven't seen this, this thing is so awesome. It is their 5.7. It started with the P-50, which is an award winner. And so this is the rifle version of the same award-winning platform. You can get it in multiple barrel links, and they got all kinds of deets on it over at KeltechWeapons.com. It's lightweight. It's accurate. It's just awesome. I mean, I have the P-50, and the R-50 offers, again, just like the P-50, over 7 inches of rail space. So you got a wide range of optic options. Double-stack mag comes with 250-round standard capacity double-stack mags that lays horizontally along the top. Light, well-balanced. Easy to manipulate, super accurate, great fun on the range. But you know what? This is awesome for serious home protection as well. Learn more about the new R50 carbine at KeltechWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Mr. President, we look forward to welcoming you soon to the Dominican Republic at the next Summit of the Americas in 2025, where we will continue to develop the bonds of prosperity, security, and democracy that bind us together. And that summit will be in Punta Cana, so you have time to be on the beach.
Oh my gosh. That is the Dominican Republic President Luis Abinader, who's telling Biden that the next Summit of Americas will be in Punta Cana, so you'll get to be on the beach. Wow. You know what? I mean, usually men don't slide into a put down the way that women do, but it is, I think, just a mark of high intelligence when they do. And that was like a straight lady level put down, dude. That was, I gotta give props for that, man. That was well done. Well done, sir. Well done. All right, so this is what we got coming up for you in our second hour this Friday. We're getting you set up. Candy corn's the best candy. I'm just gonna make you mad, make you pay attention right there. We're also gonna get into all of the latest, the pause that the Biden administration's trying to float. Democrat support for Israel's crumbling. What does that mean for Biden? We got all that and more. Stick with us.
The White House has said it will veto any bill that doesn't include both Israel and Ukraine. House Speaker Mike Johnson has said that he wants to do Israel first alone and then move on to Ukraine and the U.S. border. What is the path forward there, and is there room for the White House to negotiate on U.S. border immigration issues in that package?
Well, first of all, we're not negotiating that, and we've been very clear that we must stand by the role of the United States as it relates to our global responsibility to uphold and defend international rules and norms and what is right. And so our proposal is that there be aid given to both places, to Israel and to Ukraine. And we are standing by that, as you have said. The President has been very clear. If any bifurcation of that should occur, he will veto the bill that you have referred to. But let's also be clear that these folks who want to be considered as leaders in the midst of global crises of a proportion we have not seen in a very long time are playing political games with people.
I am really trying hard here to understand what she is saying, that she was trying to explain the move from, like, why POTUS would veto standalone funding for Israel. Kane, I'm That hurt me. I don't understand what was her point? I mean, what was her point? She's trying to explain why he would do it, and she didn't. She was just like, well, if there's the division of it, then, yeah, he's, you know, things and stuff, and unburdened by what has been, love and diagrams. Oh, my gosh, what else? What else? Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. I can't believe we're already at the top of the second hour. What is happening? I just read a story about racist clouds, and here we are at the top of the second hour. It's like, if you get on Pinterest, I boycott Pinterest, not because they've done anything, just because it sucks your life away. So again, you can listen coast to coast. I've had a lot of caffeine. Thank you, Black Rifle Coffee. Blame them. The simulcast, channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, listen to the show, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'll get to the racist cloud thing in a moment. But I'm just trying to figure out what in the world she was saying there. It just doesn't make any sense to me, but okay. They're talking about this proposal. Why can't they do a standalone proposal? Oh, because nobody wants to give any more money to Ukraine. We have no idea where our money is going. It's just a black hole. Almost went to where I shouldn't. It's just a giant black hole. We'll leave it at that. Nobody knows where the money is. They don't really have anything to show for it. I think that's safe to say. Yeah, that's safe to say. That's it. Yeah, they don't have anything else to show for it. Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. So, You know what this... I was having a conversation. Actually, my friend Glenn Beck, I saw him at an event. We had an event with Patriot Mobile for 10 years, celebrating the service that they provide. And they're just such a... I mean, I know all of these people. Like, I know where they live. I know all these people, and they're all so sweet. And I'm not sitting here telling you about Patriot Mobile. We were talking about how everything is horrible. And our mutual friend is Mark Levin. And I love Mark Levin. Like, I wish Mark Levin was like my uncle. He's so awesome and so cool. And he never leaves his house. And Glenn was laughing about that. And he's like, you're kind of getting into that. And I'm like, getting into that? I am that. I am a hobbit. Like, I don't. And I am, what people don't understand about me is I am a situational extrovert. If you get me into a group of people where there's like four and I have to talk, you are going to be mystified at how I make a living on air, because it is the most difficult. I don't know what to do with my hands. What do? I don't know how to talk with people. But I can get in front of 1,000 people and it's fine. It's the weirdest thing ever. And I just get real odd. And I don't know if it's because I grew up a latchkey kid. And I spent some of my formative years in the evening alone doing homework and making mac and cheese. I like being alone. I like being with my family. I like being with my dog. I like being alone. And I love all of you, but, you know, it's just like you get, you know, you just like to retreat to your little hobbit hole. And he started kind of laughing at me, making fun of me about that too. And I'm like, but do you blame me? Look at everything that's happening in the world. Look at everything that's happening. When you do decide to leave, then somebody gets mad because of what's on your pancake syrup. So you go back in your hidey hole. And then when you decide to come out again, somebody else is mad at the clouds. Now I'm going to tell you about the racist clouds. I'm not making this up. So, Kane, where do you think that I found this story? Give me a website. Where do you think?
The internet? Oh.
Like, what kind of website would this be on? Racist cloud.
Racist cloud. It'd probably be on something like Salon or
space.com.
Media mat. What?
Yeah. The space site.
What?
I don't know nothing about no clouds. I'm going to be honest with you right now. I don't know anything about, I mean, I know Ferdinand Magellan, but that's it. I don't know Magellanic cloud stuff. I don't know. So here's the, I hate everything. Here's the headline. Am I saying this correctly? Magellanic clouds must be renamed, say astronomers.
Why?
Well, because they're racist, Kane. In September, astronomer Mia de los Reyes published an op-ed in the Journal of APS Physics, representing a coalition of astronomers calling for the renaming of two iconic, deeply studied and shining irregular galaxies near the Milky Way. One of these star-studded realms is named the Large Magellanic Cloud, and the other, for reasons you'd probably expect, is called the Small One. But most importantly, they're named after Ferdinand Magellan. And Magellan, the Portuguese explorer, he enslaved indigenous people who also enslaved other indigenous people. It's true. What? And he was the first person to set out to circumnavigate the globe. Now, De Laurias's article states that Magellan's journey describes how he enslaved some indigenous people who are in Argentina, etc. And he set villages ablaze in Guam and all la 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 la. So he was no different than all of the other indigenous populations that also enslaved other indigenous populations and beheaded indigenous populations and made human sacrifices of other members of indigenous populations. Because I love the idea that war and evil is imported from the Portuguese or anyone else in Europe. Everyone was, do you know that, Kane? Everyone here in the Americas was peaceful and they lived in perfect harmony. There was no human, it was all perfect. Everything was wonderful and peaceful and everyone lived in harmony on yellow brick roads and we all had lollipops. Everybody had lollipops, all my ancestors. Except that didn't happen. Who was it? One of the explorers, they were a missionary. Weren't they with the Catholic Church that came in and they were, it was in South America and they were describing the stench of one of the structures they were in because of the human sacrifices? And that's when they tried chocolate for the first time, but they also, it was the stench of the bodies and, yeah, blood stained everything. So one guy is bad because he did that. Okay, that's bad. But all the other people who did it are bad too, except no, they're not. That's like when people get all upset over Mount Rushmore and they say, oh, stolen land. Stolen from who? The other 5,000 nations that lived there before that nation stole it? So they want to cancel. They want to cancel Magellan. Oh my gosh, everything is stupid. Everything is stupid. So they want to cancel him because of... What about the... Someone asked, what about the Magellanic penguins too? I didn't even know, literally, that they were called that. I knew who Magellan was. I didn't know that these galaxies were called that. I only have so much time in my life and room in my brain for things. Right? So the thing I just learned about is canceled. It's going to get canceled. I mean, you could just not and go on and try to solve other problems. I mean, you could do that. But, you know, you still have. I mean... who cares about that? You got the Robert Byrd Green Bank Telescope in Green Bank, Virginia, and West Virginia. But hey, that's okay because he's a Democrat. I mean, yeah, he was like a magical centaur with the Klan or something? Minotaur? Mini Minotaur? I don't know. What was he? I don't know. What do they have like? Aren't they all named after mythical and the Democrat activist arm?
Yeah, you're right. I'm not sure. The Gorlock?
I don't know what it is. But yeah, they have the Robert C. Byrd Telescope, the Robert Byrd Telescope. Do they cover it with a sheet? I don't know. Anyway, but it's D different. Yeah. Next, stars are racist. I joke, but that's going to happen. So, you know, I just think that, this is why, you know, to go back, this is kind of like why I, you know, like to be in my hobbit hole and stay home. And there's no... It's like you have no... This is why we all gather together every day with the show. Because there's nowhere else you can go, even on your own side. If you look around on your own side, this is what you see. People arguing over boots and reportedly straight men on the right being obsessed with other dudes' feet. I don't get it. I mean, you know, you got potential biblical stuff happening over in the Middle East. But hey, I'll tell you what. Now... The story that I was sharing with you earlier, let me pull this up, which I'm still shocked that we even have to say, hey, what about the border? Because we have we knew that we had Iranian nationals that came in that were on terror lists. Now we had this Jordanian national who was arrested for wanting to plan a terror attack in Houston. And remember, Was it climate change that's the biggest, scariest thing in the world? And also, they got to do Islamophobia outreach. Here's a question that I had about the Islamophobia outreach thing. because it was, they really just announced it and they started pushing it this week. Is it to try to make us feel better about Islamo-fascists who want to kill us? Or is it to quell people's something that doesn't actually exist right now? I'm trying to figure that out. Because I hear stuff like, you know, the Jordanian terrorist who wants to target a Jewish community in Houston. And I'm like, well, there's a phobia there for sure. But is it being described accurately by the administration? I just got a lot of questions. A lot of questions about that. In the meantime, with Israel, the pause, the great pausing. We're going to talk about that coming up. We have headlines on the way as well. I told you the racist cloud thing was true. We're also going to get into how Hunter Biden signed off on a Burisma memo to the Ukrainian prosecutor who replaced Viktor Shokin, warning them not to continue further investigations. But how dare you bring this up? Because cocaine. You're not supposed to talk about any of this stuff. You know, that's the rules.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, according to UPI, a study was done about the state of democracy, and they said it's declined worldwide. I mean, when you look at the way this administration's gone after freedom of speech and freedom of assembly and everything else, it's not incredibly shocking to see that. Target CEO says shoppers are pulling back, even on groceries. They're pulling back on everything, he says. They said they're trying to take a more conservative approach to inventory. Also, maybe can you make your bathrooms normal again? They said that they're doubling. I don't actively avoid the Target, but now knowing that, you know, if I were to use their restroom and a dude would walk up in there, do they still do that? I just can't abide, man. I hate going in anywhere because, again, I just want to stay in my hobbit hole and order things to my house. Is that bad? I don't care. They said that they're taking a more conservative approach. They said shoppers are pulling back on everything because everybody's broke. Everybody is broke. That's why. They're all broke. Thanks, Biden. Jersey reduced to a disaster zone after a 100-mile-per-hour storm. Siren winds hammered the island. They've been dealing with some stuff. You never really hear about, like, storms that hit the British Isles. You never really hear about anything like that, but they had it was like a tornado that was linked to a storm, and they've had all kinds of debris, etc., happening. It's just, it's kind of wild. So, Siren. That sounds like a friendly storm. All right, 92-year-old breaks a world record, becomes the oldest person to hike the Grand Canyon rim to rim. You know, some days I feel like really great when I'm, you know, like I curl my hair. The 92-year-old. Breaks the world record. Oldest person to hike the Grand Canyon rim to rim. His name is Alfredo Aliaga. He broke the Guinness World Record. And he said he's already looking forward to next year's trek. What? Yeah, he said it took him 2 days and more than 21 hours of hiking. He surpassed the previous record holder and became the oldest to complete the 24-mile journey from North Rim to South Rim. And he looks super healthy. He's apparently not, this wasn't his first rim to rim hike either. He's done it before. The last time was in 2022. So yeah, he likes going to the Grand Canyon. He likes, you know, he's got his sticks. He's got his, you know, he looks exactly like you would expect a hiker to look. I'd totally let him be my guide. Yeah, he could do that. Very cool. Very cool. A couple of other things to hit here. We also have, let me touch on this, because we've been talking about all the situations with the Jordanian, the guy who was arrested, the Jordanian national as well. And then we have 12 dead, 4 in critical condition after they drank homemade liquor at a wedding party. Oh gosh, homemade moonshine. We'll talk more about that here coming up. We also have Chip Roy coming up next.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ukraine will come in short order. It will come next. And you've heard me say that we want to pair border security with Ukraine because I think we could get bipartisan agreement on both of those matters. Look, the American people feel very strongly about this, and I do as well. And I can tell you House Republicans do. We have obligations and we have things that we can and should do around the world, but we have to take care of our own house first. And as long as the border's wide open, we're opening ourselves up for great threat. And again, it's just a matter of principle that if we're going to take care of a, a border in Ukraine, we need to take care of America's border as well. And I think there's bipartisan support for that idea. We're going to get right to that.
Now, because I can already hear some people weeping and gnashing of the teeth. I get what Johnson's doing here, and that's Speaker Mike Johnson. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. Bottom of the second hour. Listen coast to coast, across the country. Watch the simulcast 347 DirecTV. I get what he's doing here because he's playing chicken. And he's saying, look, if you're going to do this, if you're going to push this towards Ukraine, okay, let's tie it to the border. Let's see how serious you are. Joining us on this now, our good friend, excellent representative from Texas, Congressman Chip Roy. Always good to see you, sir. Do I have that accurate? Because, I mean, it makes sense. Like, if they're, you know, Democrats, you're insisting on Ukraine. Okay, we're insisting on the border. So let's see how serious you are.
Yeah, Dana, first of all, good to be on. And yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Let's take these in order for 1 second. The House of Representatives, led by Republicans, just passed a funding bill for Israel to support our allies in Israel, $14.5 billion. And we did so by using a large pot of money that is sitting over here designed to expand the IRS to target the American people. 12 Democrats joined us in the House. You know, the swamp didn't think that would happen. But because a lot of Democrats wanted to side with the IRS and expanding the IRS over standing with Israel. Now we'll see what Chuck Schumer and what President Biden do. Will they choose Israel? Will they choose the IRS? We want to get busy doing our job, make sure we're paying for this stuff as we go. Stop harassing the American people and let's go help Israel. The second thing we're going to be working on is figuring out how to get our appropriations bills passed. We just passed the 7th. We hope to pass a few more next week. And we might entertain a stopgap bill, but only one that will force us to do our work with appropriations bills. We'll see what the Senate does. They're not going to like that. Now, the third thing you're talking about, Ukraine and the border. Mm. We need to secure the border. That is an absolute prerequisite for anything that we're going to do to fund anything about Ukraine. And Mike Johnson, very wisely, is making that clear. We don't know whether we should support Ukraine or not. We need more briefing on it in terms of how's it being used, corruption, where's the money going, what's our stockpiles look like. Make that case, but only if you're securing our border first. That's what Mike is saying. So if there's going to be a movement of a Ukraine vehicle, it's going to have to be proved that they're doing the right thing with the money, and it's going to have to be paid for out of the Inflation Reduction Act and all the subsidies for, you know, rich white liberals who want to mess up our energy supply. And we're going to have to make sure that our border is secure. This is what your new majority in the House of Representatives looks like under the leadership of Speaker Johnson. And we're going to keep working to accomplish this thing.
That sounds perfectly reasonable. I think that all sounds just perfectly reasonable, the proposals put forward. Although you got to get the Senate to go along with it.
Yeah.
And the Senate, as you know, Congressman, they're having a bit of difficulty, particularly with one senator. And I have seen so many. I got to say, I'm so shocked to have seen some of the Republicans in the House and the Senate go off on Senator Tommy Tuberville, because he is standing and saying, look, we're not going to have taxpayer funded abortion on demand for service members as birth control. We're not doing this stuff. And they could do this, as I understand it. They could just do these confirmations one by one, but they want to do it en masse.
Sure.
And that's what he's fighting against. Talk to me about that, because I got to tell you, I was really mad to see that some of the Republicans that I saw go after him for this.
Yeah, it was disgraceful. There's no other way to put it. I saw senators take the floor who went down and frankly lied to the American people. And they were attacking the honor of Coach Tuberville, who's been standing in the breach, saying that we should not be funding abortion tourism, that the American people never signed up for that. And in fact, it's contrary to existing law, and that this administration is violating the law. These members of the Senate, as Republicans, almost all of whom have run as pro-life Republicans, are besmirching the reputation of Coach Tuberville for doing what the American people want us to do, which is stand up and defend the law and defend life. So I stand with Coach Tuberville. I hope he'll keep holding the line. Now, some of those same Republicans who lied, by the way, and went to the Senate floor and said that this was about, you know, having a vote on the floor. No, it is Tuberville who wants to have a vote. They want unanimous consent. He has an election certificate from the people of Alabama and the free will to use it and not have his unanimous consent be assumed. If that's the case, you force a vote. That's it. So the House passed a conservative National Defense Authorization Bill and a DOD appropriations bill, which prohibit and defund abortion tourism. So the question now is, will House Republicans stand with Coach Tuberville in life, or will they stand with the defense establishment and those who want to roll life and just go campaign on it? So hopefully we'll do the right thing and hold the line.
I hope so. We're talking with Congressman Chip Roy out of Texas. I'm looking at this because all of the, when you look at surveys, particularly for taxpayer-funded abortion, which is exactly what the issue is with us, the majority of Americans, I think some of the last surveys I saw, RCP had an average going for a while. They're not for that. I mean, they don't think that this is, you know, as you were talking about abortion tourism, especially funded by the taxpayers, this is not something they're in favor of, even if you're looking at moderate Democrats or Republicans. So I don't know why, you know, your colleagues in the Senate are having such a hard time with the messaging on this.
Well, it's because the Senate Republican leadership and Senate Republicans broadly too often listen to the swamp and listen to the defense contractors, and like to give lip service that they're conservatives, that they're running on border security, or that they're running on protecting life. But when push comes to shove, they're not going to stand alongside Coach Tuberville. Frankly, only a few members of the Senate have gone down to the floor in defense of Coach Tuberville. Yeah. More should. He's doing the right thing. Now, they may try to jam us with changing a rule change in the Senate next week to try to jam Coach Tuberville.
Really?
And try to make it to where they can force these through. That's the rumor I'm hearing. I hope House Republicans, through the Speaker, will send a loud message to the Senate. You might try to roll Coach Tuberville, but we're going to demand a National Defense Authorization Act and appropriations for defense that stop this unlawful and, frankly, immoral funding of abortion tourism that the American people don't want us to fund. No matter what you believe about abortion, we shouldn't be having taxpayer funds. It's a longstanding tradition under the Hyde Amendment and our principles that we're not going to take taxpayer funds and fund abortion. And and we shouldn't do it here.
I want to switch gears and ask you about the pause, the language that the administration is trying to use so they don't say the word ceasefire and get into more trouble. This pause that Anthony Blinken has been talking about, that Kamala Harris, we had a weird, I'm not even going to play that because that we couldn't make heads or tails of it. It's a weird word salad soundbite from her. None of our audience could understand what she was trying to get at. But is this the administration being influenced by the ideology, the squad ideology, its base, and being forced to kind of back away from standing with Israel against this attack from Hamas? Like, what is the thinking on this?
Yeah, well, I think Joe Biden is starting to feel squeezed. He's in quite the predicament because he's getting pushed by the radical elements of the Democratic Party who do not want to stand with Israel, who do not want to defend American national security interests through Israel. And yes, that's the squad. And yes, that includes Rashida Tlaib, who we can talk about in a minute. But the bottom line here is that these guys, the administration, are trying to walk away from Israel, and they talk about things like a ceasefire, when in fact Israel has a clear mission, and that is to destroy Hamas. They have tried to work in good faith over the last 15 years, working with Gaza, you know, down there, knowing exactly the kind of dangers and all the tunnels and all the infrastructure, knowing that Hamas uses civilians as, you know, shields, human shields, and hospitals. They've got their headquarters under a hospital. And now Israel has said, hey, guys, we're serious. We're going to give you time. We're going to be civil about this. We're going to do everything we can for humanitarian interests and not hit targets that we don't want to hit. But we're taking you out, Hamas. And the people in Gaza need to know that. Palestinians, whether they're in Gaza or throughout other areas, they need to understand that. And so this administration wants to kind of, you know, have their cake and eat it, too, and placate their extreme elements of their party while allegedly standing by Israel. But they're doing no such thing. They're just words. They want to fund Palestinians and fund Hamas through the United Nations. They want to continue to fund our adversaries. They want to continue to allow Iran to make billions giving oil to China without sanctioning them. They don't want to go after the $6 billion in Qatar. This is nonsense. This administration is not standing with Israel. And frankly, I think it's important that our bill that we sent to the Senate, they take it up and pass it and it's paid for and get it done. Yeah. And don't side with the IRS instead of Israel.
Yeah, we're talking with Congressman Chip Roy. I'm only going to ask one thing about the Tlaib stuff because I want to go into the border situation, especially with this Jordanian national. And then we have the Iranian nationals that were discovered having crossed illegally. I know that there was an effort to censure her because it seems like, you know, just talking about the squad's influence on the administration and they're backing away from Israel. I mean, it does embolden all of it. What was the thinking behind, because whenever you and people like Thomas Massie and others sort of take a very interesting position, it does. Yeah. Now that's where we'll use the word pause correctly. I do take pause there because you guys don't really do anything haphazardly. Talk a little bit about that, the Tlaib censure, just why it came to the way it did.
Yeah. First of all, look, Rashida Tlaib has certainly engaged in conduct that is merits our attention. Okay, she has said things that are reprehensible. Her own Democratic colleagues have talked about her anti-Semitic rhetoric, that she has been siding with our enemies over the United States, that she's siding with Hamas over Israel, that she's been defending conduct that is totally indefensible, that she's dismissing and just saying that, you know, the conduct of beheading people and slaughtering babies and all of the rapes and the murders that we saw on October 7th, that that's just resistance. I'm sorry, that's a step beyond normal just speech and what you do in speech and debate. You are siding with our enemies, and that is conduct unbecoming a member of Congress. Let me be clear. A lot of us were talking about the nature of whether that's censurable conduct. We're having a debate about that. I think it probably rises to censurable conduct. But what doesn't is when you draft a resolution that is highly flawed and has a lot of negative consequences. For example, with all due respect to my colleague from Georgia, I have no interest in getting into a back and forth with her about this. I just voted on a piece of legislation that I thought was badly flawed and badly drafted because it went in and defined insurrection as something that's not an insurrection. Mm-hmm. That will undermine people who are then gone after for something that wasn't an insurrection. So in this case, you had Jewish people who are for a ceasefire. I disagree with them. I think they're crazy. But they were Jewish people who are for a ceasefire who came into this building I'm in right now, Cannon, and took over the rotunda. That wasn't an insurrection. They might have violated some laws. They might have been, you know, punished or prosecuted, but it wasn't an insurrection, and words matter. These are legal terms that can be used, as we know, in January 6th for purposes that aren't necessarily good. I'm not going to vote because it's politically expedient, ever. Let me be very clear to all of the people out there who are all in a, you know, kerfuffle. I will not vote for something because it's politically expedient. I will do my job in a republic as the representative of 750,000 Texans to follow the law, to follow the Constitution, and to make a level-headed judgment about what's before me. There may be additional legislation coming. Not going to get in front of that yet, but we've got to do our job. But let me be very, very clear. Rashida Tlaib has said things that absolutely are unbecoming of members of Congress and deserve a response, and we're all talking about it and working on it.
Yeah. Now, talking with Congressman Chipper, I have one more question for you, and that makes sense, too. We cannot forfeit ground on language because that, that invokes penalties. I mean, we all see that. The Iranian nationals that have been that have crossed over the southern border illegally, we had a story out of another foreign national looking to commit an act of terrorism in New York. And then the thing that came out this morning about this Jordanian national who was arrested in Houston for plotting an attack on the Jewish community. So here we have four different instances of terror found in the United States. I know the administration's focusing on Islamophobia, but it looks like we have a problem here. And then you have Iran saying that, well, if, you know, things kick off, if America doesn't back down, you're not going to need your ships, you're not going to need your, you know, your air cover, you're not going to need any of that. I wanted to kind of get your just last thoughts on that, because we've left ourselves open for that kind of action here because of the border.
One of the reasons why I think the speaker is correct and why we and the Freedom Caucus and otherwise here in the Republican Congress have been pushing for tying the border security to Ukraine and frankly other things is that we are in danger right now. We had Mayorkas and the DHS finally acknowledged recently the 600,000 plus gotaways that they had not heretofore really been willing to acknowledge. And that is a shy, that is a number that is frankly way shy of the number we believe it actually is. And then well over a million, million and a half, maybe 2 million gotaways, because you can't get an exact count. But the number of releases, the number of people getting paroled into the country without getting the thorough background checks you'd fully need, all in the false name of asylum and using parole and using all of these bastardized forms of our existing law, that is endangering us. There are numbers. I have seen stuff that I can't publicly comment because there are some classified information, but these are countries, right? The number of people coming from dangerous countries is going up, and we are seeing it in real time at the border. It is a problem. You just noted the Jordanian and Houston and others. There's been myriad examples, Chinese nationals. We've had a bunch of people we've caught that are on the record and publicly known to have come from FARC and Colombia, which are terrorist, you know, dangerous individuals there. But this is a real problem. And we saw which is what happened with Hamas and with Israel. That was a very low tech invasion. OK, you know, they came in on, you know, gliders, right? And they came in and just started massacring people. It wasn't shooting missiles at people. They just came in and jumped in and started slaughtering people. We are endangering the American people by having open borders. And this is something that I've said is impeachable conduct by Mayorkas. I would argue at the extent to which it is now that it's going all the way to the White House in terms of impeachable conduct. They know what they're doing and they're doing it intentionally. So we've got to keep exposing it and we've got to fight it. And we should use the power of the purse the best we can to fight it.
I appreciate you fighting that good fight. And I appreciate your candor and all these other on these other issues as well. You're always straight, no chaser, very straightforward. Congressman Chip Roy, always good to talk with you. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dana. You too. Hi to Chris and everybody. Take care.
Will do.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I have so many awkward Florida man stories right now. I don't know what was happening over Halloween, but apparently it was going down. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So first up, a Florida mom was arrested when her 7-year-old entered the bar to find her following hours left alone in an unlocked car. That's never good. Florida mom left her 7-year-old in the car while she was out getting drunky drunk at a local bar. According to DeLand Police Department, Veronica Elliott was charged with child neglect. 7-year-old girl walked up to the bar looking for her mom. She had been left in the car, dark parking lot, no lights. And it was literally 2:58 a.m. It was in the middle of the night. Yeah. I'm like, first off, I didn't know, did the bar stay open that late there? I just didn't know that. That's kind of wild. A Florida man tried to circumcise his 2-year-old cousin while babysitting.
What?
Dude, I don't even know. This is one of the craziest stories. Holly Hill, Florida. A Florida man found himself behind bars. He allegedly tried to circumcise his 2-year-old cousin while babysitting him. Timothy's Powell was arrested and charged with aggravated child abuse. Maybe some prison justice will befall him. Stay with us, third hour on the way.
But how can you ask for a ceasefire? How can you ask for Israel to stop their aggression when you go on television in Lebanon here last week and say that you will continue your aggression? You will continue
you
to launch October 7th again.
What do you want us to do? To stop?
If you're asking for a ceasefire, it has to be two ways.
No, I am talking that we want to continue against the occupation. This is our national, our legal right to fight against the occupation. It is according to international law, according to all the regulation in the world. It is in Europe you fight against the Nazis.
So that's the leader of Hamas. You know what? I got to say kudos to that reporter who asked the leader of Hamas something no other person in the media has asked. Kudos. I mean, dude, kudos to that guy. And he looked him right in the face and said, how are you demanding for a ceasefire when you won't cease firing? And you heard the leader of Hamas's response sitting on his big fat ass in his palace in Qatar. Oh, well, you know, what do you want us to do? It's occupation. You're not occupied, dude. You were so not occupied. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the syndicated radio program in a city near you, town near you. You can watch the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook as well. Sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, all kinds of good stuff that goes out there on the reg. So I love that the question asked so directly there. And of course, the leader said, well, you know, what do you want us to do? Do you want to, I mean, it's not occupation. And we went over that in depth yesterday, how in 2005, Israel unilaterally pulled out. They left everything behind, including hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of greenhouse infrastructure. I mean, that was like one of the biggest providers that area for Israel up to that time of organic produce. Hamas took it over. They won the election. They were elected. They won elections. They beat out Fatah with Gazans, and they won elections there. Fatah and the Palestinian Authority were running West Bank. You had Hamas running Gaza, and they won elections. And from that time on, they took all of the resources, all of the air in the room, and they spent it on creating a 300-mile labyrinth of a tunnel system going into Israel so they could send suicide bombers, etc. They bought rockets. They bought munitions. And then when they were running out of money to do that, they went in and they actually dug up water pipes and they fashioned those into crude rockets, which is why so many of them exploded in Gaza before they ever actually were sent off into the airspace over Israel. They dug up sewage pipes when they were sent actual hard resources, like actual pipes to improve the existing infrastructure. They took those and fashioned those into what they called bombs with wings. So this is Gaza. Is Hamas runs Gaza. Hamas is responsible for the situation in Gaza. And yet everyone wants no one tells Hamas to stop their ceasefire. No one, nobody even points out that, you know, this could have been avoided if they would have just released the hostages that they kidnapped when they went in and killed 1,400 plus people. No one talks about that. There's no occupation there. That's all Hamas. Hamas, when you ask them, when you really drill it down and you ask them about occupation and you say, well, what is occupied? They literally will say from the river to the sea. They're talking about Israel. When you really drill it down, the occupation they're talking about isn't limited to West Bank. They're not talking about Gaza Strip. They're talking about all of Israel and saying how they need to leave. They're colonizers. Hamas and Fatah and Palestinian Authority, they're colonizers. And Palestine is a fake country. It's a non-existent country that's not supported the name in thousands of years of antiquity. There's not a Palestine people. It was a spiteful name given as revenge against the Jews by Hadrian after he quelled the Second Judean Uprising and named it Syria Philistina. After the Philistines, who were Greek, by the way, and had not been in the area for hundreds of years. So, it's all a troll. It's a giant troll on the world's civilization, and it's colonization is what it is. So there's a reason why no other Arab countries want to allow anyone from these areas run by this authority in their space. I mean, do you know what they were doing in the tunnels under Rafah? So in Egypt, because the tunnels that are in Gaza, and it's accurate, like 300 miles labyrinth of these tunnels, pitch black, optics don't even work down there. And on the Egypt side, Egypt would actually flood the tunnels going there with sewage and seawater so that no one could come up under Rafah and get into Egypt. And Israel, they developed these things that they called SpongeBobs. And it would be like a bag of that had a tab on it. And they would drop it down in these tunnels. And it, when it would go off, it would expand with this like hardened foam and fill up that area to make it temporarily impassable. So that's what Hamas has spent all of their money on. There's no occupation. There's no such thing as an occupation. There's no such thing. If people want to talk about this in terms that are real, if they want to create their own nation apart from all of their other Arab neighbors, this isn't the way to do it. You don't just try to conjure up out of the ether a history of people that didn't exist. That's just like we don't try to conjure up a brand new gender out of men and women. Because there is history and there's science and we have facts and we have real items. And now you have the administration blinking. Oh, a pause. There's not going to be a pause. There shouldn't be a pause. I was reading, this is more of this Hamas propaganda. People keep saying, oh, there was a missile strike that hit an ambulance. Look at this. And there were these images being shared. Do you know what it was? That was debunked online. I actually shared part of this. They're not images of a missile strike. It was a car accident where an ambulance hit a horse, and it happened some years ago. Like Reuters even said this. Reuters put this out. They said the health ministry in Gaza. You know what the health ministry in Gaza is? It's Hamas. That's Hamas. They're literally quoting Hamas. They're quoting Hamas propaganda. They're sharing these images, which they say are a missile strike. And I mean, it's pointed out that, you know, there's no blast damage to anything. There's no crater, no smoke, no fire. It was literally an ambulance that hit a horse and a second car. It was a car accident. And it was like several years old. And this is being sent around by Hamas through their made up health ministry. And Reuters and others are actually running with it as though it's gospel truth. Now, they deleted the video, but they still have pictures up in different areas. They're like, oh, this strike, Israel hit these people. It is an absolute lie. And the photos predate this by, like I said, a couple of years. Reuters is running with us now. Like right now, 2 hours ago, right at the start of our radio program is when they posted this. That's insane. This is the stuff they're doing. They do this. Notice how none of these people, however, are talking about the road in southern Gaza leading towards Egypt, where there it's littered with the dead bodies of women and children and men, Gazan residents who were trying to walk out of Gaza. And there's no crater on the ground. There was no missiles, no nothing in the airspace there. It was Hamas that was sniping them, shooting at them, dropping them down to the asphalt. Hamas kills its own people. Hamas uses its own people as shields. So whenever anyone says, oh, this humanitarian crisis, Hamas created a humanitarian crisis. And the people that keep telling everyone else to cease fire, you people are, in my opinion, if you want to be frank, I feel like they are approaching Hamas levels of culpability. Because you people drag this out. You prolong it after decades of this. The reason that we're still in this position are because of those sorts of people. They want everyone else to stop, except for Hamas. Everyone else has to be held accountable, except for Hamas. I hear the story of, can you believe that Netanyahu wanted to keep Hamas broke? Yeah, you're telling me that Netanyahu and other Israelis wanted to keep the terrorist group that has done nothing since assuming power of trying to kill Israelis and successfully killing Israelis, that they wanted to keep Hamas broke? Wow. So shocking. You ever-loving morons. Why don't you mention that at its inception, Hamas includes rejection of a two-state solution in its charter while you're at it? These people are so stupid. I see these people out there with the picnic blankets on their heads screaming in chants about river to the sea and all this Hamas propaganda. I mean, it's the stupidest people alive. This is why aliens don't visit us, because they probably look at the ignorance and think it's communicable. In some instances, with this propaganda, it is. Shameful. Absolutely shameful. I keep seeing and I'm sure you saw these images, too. I've seen a lot of people sharing it. Of the, would you hide me? I would images. A lot of my Jewish friends have been sharing it. And people in support of them. Can't even imagine in 2023 even having this conversation, particularly in the United States of America. I'm going to tell you what. There are going to be the real FAFO people. I'm not saying this to, you know, try to inspire fear and terrorist apologists. I'm just telling you how this goes. There are real FAFO people out there who want to go about their lives. They want their neighbors to live in peace. They want to live in peace. And they don't want to be bothered. But by God, you push them to the point where they are bothered. Those are the real FAFO people. And they will kit up. And this problem will be taken care of before it ever gets to the point where any American in this country has to feel like they have to hide because of their faith, because of what they believe. And that's with the rest of us taking them to the range and making sure that they're trained and that they're equipped to kick the teeth into anyone who would make them feel like they have to hide here in the country that our family members shed blood to keep free. Those, the real FAFO people, they're not out there talking big games on the internet. They're not trying to be influencers. They're not out there trying to do any of that stuff. They're just living their lives. Those are the people. That's the bear you don't poke. And when you do, there is no calming it down. Audio soundbite 11, Anthony Blinken. He keeps going on with this two-state solution. But Hamas has rejected it repeatedly. It's in their charter to reject it. Listen.
Finally, and importantly, even as we work toward progress on each of these urgent needs, we're focused on setting the conditions for a durable and sustainable peace and security. The United States continues to believe that the best viable path, indeed the only path, is through a two-state solution. That's the only guarantor of a secure Jewish and democratic Israel, the only guarantor of Palestinians realizing,
except they've rejected it time and time again. And in fact, just earlier this week, you had that same leader of Hamas say that they're going to keep redoing October 7th until Israel doesn't exist. I guess Blinken didn't see that interview.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so I told you this. 12 dead, four in critical condition after drinking homemade liquor at a wedding party. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so this was in Indonesia. 18 people were hospitalized with alcohol poisoning. You know, there's some good people here in southern Missouri and in the foothills of Appalachia that can absolutely help you out with that homemade moonshine, with that moonshine, making that moonshine. But whatever they did is not the way to do it. They said that 18 victims exhibited symptoms of alcohol intoxication. 11 of them could not be saved. Oh, my gosh. And so they said that they've had bootleg liquor in regions where they've made it illegal or difficult to obtain. They've had this in Uzbekistan before, Nigeria as well. So, just saying. United Airlines flight scrapes its tail during takeoff at Boston Logan Airport. Oh my gosh. They were leaving and they had to turn around after this reported tail problem. The crew on board the flight, they said that it scraped the tail of the plane on the runway during takeoff. The FAA issued a statement. The Boeing 737 was heading to Newark. So they did return. They had to land safely, according to FAA. They were able to apparently accommodate people on the next flight. But good grief. That's kind of the, people with poor speech etiquette were apparently always use these seven rude phrases, according to experts. They say, do you want to? Instead of saying, will you do me a favor? They ask people, do you want to do this? They'll say, here's the thing. Who says that? Vivek Ramaswamy. What? They'll say, well, figure out a way. It is what it is. If you want my honest opinion. I mean, those are the kind of the phrases that they say people with poor speech etiquette say.
Really?
Mm-hmm. A teenager broke a world record by solving a Rubik's Cube while skydiving. This is just, wow. What? I would be a little bit worried about falling, but they saw the 17-year-old Sam Saraki broke it, solved it in 28.25 seconds while skydiving. Okay, can you maybe stop being so ambitious and save some stuff for the rest of us? Thanks. Stay with us.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
The Trump administration allowed China to take the lead in EVs. And just putting your head in the sand and saying, well, maybe EVs won't be a thing, is not an answer. That is how you get another generation of rusted out factories and dead companies.
Tesla did pretty well.
Tesla did phenomenally well. But at the end of the day, the policies of the last administration allowed China to get an edge that we are now racing to overtake.
And I'm trying to figure out in what cracked out world that makes sense. That's are you all right, Kane? Yeah. That's Secretary Mayor Newmom, Poop Booty Juice. It's his name, who is saying that somehow we're racing to overtake China, and we're going to because of Biden's policies. Welcome back to the show, bottom of this third hour. That's not the history. That okay, so first off, that's not accurate, number one. Number two, I don't know how we could even begin to go and seriously take over China at all when we've handicapped ourselves, when we have tied up our ability to, whether it's to mine refineries for oil and gas, whether it's to mine for rare earth elements, any of that. I mean, we've talked about this extensively on this program. We're not doing, none of this is true. This is not even accurate. It doesn't even make sense. None of this is accurate. This is all just nonsense. What a stupid remark. I mean, you know, we live here. We see this stuff. You know, I mean, this is not what happened at all. This is not what happened. I really don't want to do this other Biden audio. Can we talk about Prime Minister Joe? Audio soundbite 20. Let's go ahead.
I think Prime Minister Trudeau and President Lesley are also, and I also think
what?
President.
Wait, other who?
Who's President Shaky Leg.
Can I hear that last part again? What did he say?
I think Prime Minister Trudeau and President Lesley are also, and I also think President Chavez.
Right.
For I want to thank.
I heard
for
President and Prime Minister Lesley.
Yeah. That's what I heard too.
Prime Minister Joe. Well, you know, I guess he's just trying to shorten Justin Trudeau to Joe. I'm thinking of something positive, Dana. Say something positive. I mean, it's maybe just probably what it is. I'm sure
he didn't fall down.
Yeah, he didn't fall down. You know what? Good for you for focusing on the bright aspect of this. He did not fall down.
Yeah, I like to see the silver lining in things.
He stayed upright. That's good.
That's right.
There was no cocaine there.
That we know of, you're right.
Speaking of which, don't bring that up. That's horrible. It's Hunter baby Biden stuff. Where's this at? He apparently signed off on a Burisma memo. Hunter Biden to Ukrainian prosecutor who replaced Viktor Shokin and warned not to continue further investigations. I mean, you were talking to a foreign country's prosecutor telling them stop unless you want to be punished for it. Isn't that the tit for tat? Quid pro quo, Clarice. Quid pro quo. Isn't that what they accused Trump of doing? Mm-hmm. I mean, he signed a letter that said, quote, moreover, it is imperative that the allegations of criminal activity made to the media about Burisma and or Nikolai Zolochevsky come to an end, end quote, signed Hunter Biden. That sounds like quid pro quo, Kane.
Because it is.
Hmm. But you can't talk about it. You know why? Because he's on cocaine. Or took it before, the cocaine. And you're just demonizing his addiction by pointing out his corruption. Because they're the same thing, don't you know? That's how stupid all of this is. So dumb. Goodness. Just so incredibly sad. So the few things to touch on. We've been seeing this this daylight appearing between the administration and Israel. Netanyahu saying no, there's not going to be no pause and no fuel before hostages are released. I think that's fine. Yeah, why not release the hostages? Why wouldn't you? There's not going to be any ceasefire before then. And Hamas has said so far to go pound sand and that they're going to continue doing what they're doing until Israel's gone. So it's going to take a long time because it's not going to happen. It's like never going to happen. Meanwhile, Senegal citizen wanted for terroristic activities arrested in New York City. You heard me make mention of this to Congressman Chip Roy when he was on the program. He's an African terrorism suspect. He was released into the U.S. after he had illegally crossed the border into Arizona on October 3rd. 1 week later, Homeland Security told ICE that he was wanted in Senegal for terrorist activities. On October 17th, ICE arrested him in New York. He was able to just freely cross the border. You have Chinese nationals, Iranian nationals. Yeah, this terrorist, Kane, your jaw's on the floor.
No, he traveled across the country. If he came in Arizona and he ended up in New York.
Yeah, he went across the country.
Yeah, he was in virtually every state of this country for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Just going wherever he wanted to go. He arrived in New York City, and then Homeland Security told ICE, hey, this guy is a 29-year-old non-citizen terrorist. He is in custody now without bond. They're going to, and remember, see, here's the thing. Border Patrol, they can't deport people. They're told they can't by the federal government, by the Biden administration. And if they hold someone, they don't have all of the information to check in their terrorist database and see. And if they're in a lot of times ICE, remember, the Obama Biden administration and the Biden administration both have really discouraged agencies from sharing this information with each other because this is what was happening in California. I mean, that's why you had people killed. There was a guy who was already wanted on murder who illegally crossed into the country. Border Patrol was aware of him, but, you know, it's sanctuary, so they're not going to share information because to them it was more important that the guy be protected because he crossed illegally as opposed to protecting their citizens from a guy who was already wanted for murder in his home country. And Border Patrol's overwhelmed. They can't just hold somebody either. And ICE was saying that he was wanted by Senegal, their authorities, for a criminal conspiracy because he was involved in a terrorist organization, destruction, all kinds of stuff. He was working to compromise public safety, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this is just what we know of. Just this week, we've learned about a handful of people who are either in the country illegally or who were allowed to just like freely come in, like with the Jordanian national, who have been plotting terror attacks. I mean, they've been plotting to harm Americans here. And you had the Customs and Border Patrol. Remember, they had the memo that they had issued. What was that? Like a beginning of last month of October, where they were saying, look, there might be some people associated with terror groups that are trying to enter the United States. You guys remember that. We talked about it on the show. Now, it's just safe to assume at this point that you might have people who are associated with Hamas or Hezbollah. I mean, it's not beyond the realm of possibility to assume that you might have people like that already here. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you don't know. Nobody knows who is in the country because we've had so many people come in, millions and millions of people who have flooded into the country illegally, no accountability, no idea who they are. And half the time, I mean, more than half of the time, any documentation that they show is fraudulent. So we have no idea we just don't know. We have no clue. I mean, how sad is that? We can't even keep our people safe. We can't keep anybody safe here. And this is insane. But hey, that's the administration. And they're not going to, there's not going to be any move with the border. I'm going to tell you what, this is why 2024 is so incredibly important. I saw another headline where people were arguing, I don't think candidates need to be speaking to the stupid stuff. I'm done with the fight over boots and shoes. Nobody cares. I mean, if Ron DeSantis wears lifts in his shoes, then his main competitor is a guy who gets spray tanned and has a conniption fit over the idea of having small hands. No one cares. Stop it. This is so stupid. I mean, we have really serious stuff popping off. 2024 is the last exit on the highway, folks. Last exit on the highway. After that, we're going into the weird, wild world of AI everything. We're going to have so many jobs made redundant because of AI. War strategy is going to be AI. AI is going to be entirely programmed by all of the people that you vote against if we lose in 2024. You're going to have all of the Ibram X. Kendis. Those guys are going to be influencing the perspective of how algorithms are written and how AI is created. Who knows what's going to happen in the Middle East? Who knows what's going to happen with the border? I mean, well, I think the borders, that's going to be made permanent, fait accompli. 2024 is the last exit on the highway. It is too important to engage in personality worship. I want to win. I don't care who does it. Who's going to be the horse that wins the race? That's the horse I'm going to bet on. That's the horse the horse that can win, the horse that can get the independence, the horse that can get the votes of the people who might not consider it. All of that. That's what I'm looking at for going into 2024. I want to win so bad I can taste it. I don't care about personalities. I don't care about loyalty. I don't give a rat's ass loyalty to any stupid politician. They should be loyal to me. And if you can't be loyal to me, get out of my country. That's how I look at it. I want to win. I want to win because 2024 is it. I don't care about all the ego measuring, who's better, who's loyal. No. We're not doing that. I want to win. So that's how I approach all this stuff. For those wondering, well, why aren't you obsessing over all of the primary stuff? Because it's stupid and because we're so far out. I want to win. I mean, I don't want to freak you out about how serious it is, but it's kind of serious. Everyone always says that this is the most important election. Every election's important, but this one is the most because it's it. Things are so far. They have slid so far. It's going to take a couple of generations just to move it back. And that's if you win in 2024. Freedom isn't for the weak, and it's not for the people who don't like too much to do. It's the way it is.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Why did you plead guilty to knowingly pulling that fire alarm when you said that you didn't know it? Initially, you told all of us you didn't know there's a fire alarm.
We're still talking about this, man. That's behind me. That's been adjudicated. We're done. Pay the fine, move forward, and 3 months will be dismissed.
But you weren't straight about what happened initially.
I was very straight. I was straight from the very beginning.
You said you didn't know, though.
I was straight from the beginning.
Someone yes. did invoke that today on the House floor, though.
What's that?
That incident, the fact that you had you've actually pleaded guilty, and he is still just being charged.
Yeah, whatever, man. That's all good. Any other questions about anything else?
Can you just explain why you said that initially?
We already talked about this. Anything else? All right. Peace and love, answer.
Oh, no, I already did. It's behind me. But you said that you didn't know. I mean,
It was insurrection.
I mean, yeah, it was. I was told that it is an insurrection. That's what I was told. Mm-hmm. That's how you measure that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. That was Jamal Bowman. I have to tell you, so my friend Kurt Schlichter came up with a nickname for the pro-Hamas apologists, Palestinians.
I like it.
Palestinian. It works. I'm going to use that till there's no tomorrow. No tomorrow. So, I was reading, I shared this with Kane, a new study ranked our hometown, St. Louis, the worst recovered downtown since the pandemic. Comparing downtown foot traffic from before and after, St. Louis is the least recovered downtown in America. Yeah. It was done from the University of Toronto. I'm not surprised by any of that, actually. I'm not surprised at all. That's who's run downtown St. Louis since all our lives, Kane?
That would be Democrats, Dana.
Yes, that's correct, sir. It is Democrats. And the mayor, the part, just to make sure, the mayor of the city?
Democrat.
Okay. City council?
Yeah, Democratic majority.
Alderman?
Yeah. Democrat.
Democrat.
Yeah.
Representative?
Oh, yeah, Democrat.
State Senate?
State Senate. Well, yeah, there we have some Democrats in the State Senate.
The rep for that first district there?
Yeah, Democrat.
Yeah. Everybody. They're all Democrats. They've all been Democrats forever. Las Vegas and El Paso and Texas, for the people who were coming back, they were doing a heck of a lot better. But oh my gosh, the mayor's office said, the city's meeting regularly with corporations to provide incentives for them to stay. They are so anti. And I say this again, we had a business in St. Louis. We left to move to Texas and we're refugees. And it is so, the business environment is so unfriendly in St. Louis. They tax you to death. There's all, oh my gosh, it's so bad. But yeah, that doesn't surprise me. It's sad because it's such a beautiful city, but it's, it doesn't surprise me. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right, this one's going to be Stacey Abrams.
Oh boy.
Election denier. Stacey Abrams.
Insurrectionist.
She said, we can't ignore the fact that people's lives are harder and it's not because of the president. Listen to this.
Have to remember what we face if we want to continue to hold on the progress we've had. But we can't ignore the fact that people's lives are harder. And this is not because of the president. It is because of global issues and international challenges and market conditions and a whole host of things that don't matter to you when you're sitting at your kitchen table.
But they do matter to me while I'm sitting
matter.
At my kitchen table.
They all matter. And it's... I mean,
she's
we're
clueless.
Not. Oh, wow. She's completely out of touch with everybody. Folks, that does it for us for this week. I hope you have a great weekend. I will be back behind the mic with you on Monday as we barrel towards Thanksgiving. Have a great weekend.